And it's just so interesting to see how so many of Jewish feasts and everything, that they all point to Jesus. And so you're going to see that here this morning. Peter, as I said, Russian Jew, lives in Brooklyn, New York, and has a wife and three children there in Brooklyn. And God has blessed his ministry with Jews for Jesus. And just a couple things before he comes. You know, everyone should have received a little pamphlet. Is there anyone that did not receive one of these? Okay. If we could have the ushers pass a couple of these here out. We have some more. Peter has some more up here. We have some. Peter has some here. Jeremy, would you mind helping with that? And two Jeremys. Pass that out. And there's a little slip, and he'll talk about this in a little bit. But if you fill this tear-off out before the end of the service sometime and turn that in, that's a way of Jews for Jesus to connect with you. And they will send you this roadmap to the seven feasts, a roadmap to Christ in the seven feasts. And so fill that out, and they will send this to you. He does not have those here today, but they will send this to you. And so make sure you fill that out, turn it in with the offering, and you will be blessed. And then we will have a love offering for Jews for Jesus and Peter's ministry. So at this time, I will just go ahead and turn the service over to Peter. So let's welcome Peter to our pulpit.
Forty years of my life in Russia, more than 40. I was very Jewish in Russia. In America, I am very Russian. Shalom. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Dale, for invitation, introduction. Thank you, Baptist Church, First Baptist Church, for this opportunity to share Christ and the Passover with you today. My name is Peter Blitzstein, and I'm a full-time missionary with Jews for Jesus to minister among the Russian-speaking Jewish people here in America. Praise the Lord. This season, season of the first and greatest Jewish biblical holiday, Passover, all the missionary staff of Jews for Jesus make presentations. Like you will see this morning, Christ and the Passover. I know that my colleagues who speak English, some of them speak better than me from Russia, my colleagues from the former Soviet Union, from Ukraine and from Russia, they also traveling around the different states of America with this kind of tour. And my colleagues from Israel also. Praise the Lord for America, for Passover tour. Amen. I like this season. It is great. Season traveling, freedom from house, from children, from family. but I came to us not just very Russian. I came with very Jewish message, praise the Lord. So this season, every missionary have a special tour. Christ and the Passover tour. My tour 2017 is around your state, Ohio. For 2 weeks of my tour, I will visit about 15 churches in this area. And praise the Lord, most of churches this tour are Baptist churches. Yeah, not Lutheran, only one Methodist and Baptist. Can you hear my accent? Yeah? Amen. Amen. Just remember, it is not a Brooklyn accent only. It is Russian Brooklyn, a little complicated, but the message is very important. So, listen. I'm not from Israel. I am from Russia. That means God freed me twice. First, he freed me from the Soviet Union 20 years ago. But more important, he has set me free from sin and death. Through my faith and to Messiah Yeshua, the Messiah Jesus, now I'm free to serve and live for him. Amen. As a Jews for Jesus missionary, I have a great and unique opportunity to visit a lot of churches of different denominations, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, except Catholic and Russian Orthodox. With this kind of specific ministry presentation, how to see Jesus in the different Jewish biblical holidays. And every year, I may see how many Christians, American Christians, even here in the most evangelical country of the world, don't recognize the connection between Jewish festivals and Jewish Messiah. This reality burns in my heart when I speak in the different churches. In the Tanakh, Jewish Bible, the gospel is dispersed throughout the whole scriptures and is especially visible through the Jewish holidays. All Jewish feasts, all feasts of God represent Messiah and point unto him. Think about it. All of you, all Christians know the last holiday Jesus celebrated in Jerusalem. What holiday? Passover. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Good church. Passover, the most famous day of Jewish history. The birthday of the new nation. People redeemed by the Lord. It was the day, last day of our slavery in Egypt. Day of physical deliverance for more than 2 or 3 million people. In the Bible, it was the day of the last plague that God fell upon the land of Egypt. Day when all the firstborn in the land were condemned to death. Usually people of the church learned about it. But how many of you remember that that day, the Passover, was also the last day of Jesus' life in his human body? Day when our Messiah was condemned to death. I know that a lot of people of the church usually overlook this connection. Connection between deliverance, connection between Jewish Passover and Jewish Messiah. Between deliverance of God's people and the death of Jesus. Very significant connection. Day when Yeshua endured rejection, suffering, and the cross has been marked in all Jewish calendars as the very special day. Day of freedom for God's people. Day of our redemption from slavery. Amen. What do you think about that connection? Was it accidental or intentional? I'm sure it was not a coincidence. It was one moment. Sorry. May I look? One moment. Yes. It was not a coincidence. It was, sorry, sometimes I forget all English words. I personally confused how God may use me for this ministry. And before the tour, I really very nervous because, you know, sometimes I cannot make the order just at McDonald's. Yeah, it is hard for me to order the cup of coffee, to find the McDonald's. I remember I asked a lot of people, where is the nearest McDonald's? And nobody can understand me. What you asking for? McDonald's. McDonald's. It is the same. No. I was so confused when sometimes, long time ago, during the church meeting, I confused the circumstances with circumcision. Yeah. So, please forgive me. It was not a coincidence. It was God's design, God's heavenly confirmation. Heavenly confirmation. All Christians know that Jesus rose again on the third day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But how many of you recognize that day exactly as the day of the next Jewish feast, commonly known as the first fruits or the first harvest in the land of Israel, which always falls on the day after the Passover Shabbat. In other words, Sunday of Passover week. Yes, we know this day and celebrate it as the Resurrection Sunday. Yes, we usually don't know that God connected the resurrection of Jesus with the very beginning of the early harvest season. It was not a coincidence. The spring harvest in the land of Israel, the harvest of barley, the first grain, God, the first bread, God connected with the first fruit and later with the day of resurrection, Exodus from the dead. And the summer harvest in the land, the harvest of wheat, the second of main bread, he combined with the next Jewish feast, followed 50 days later, the feast of 7 weeks, or Shavuot in Hebrew language. Jewish people celebrate Shavuot as the day when the gospel, when the Torah was given, the Sinai revelation that you see not. It was the beginning of our service to the law of God, service to commandments. In Jewish traditional interpretation, Exodus from Egypt was the first level, the low level of spiritual freedom. And Sinai revelation was the high level, beginning of spiritual deliverance. Physical freedom, spiritual deliverance. This Jewish holiday, Shavuot, is best known among the Christians by the Greek name Pentecost. Yes, Pentecost, the 50th day. People of the church consider Pentecost as the day when the gospel was proclaimed by the mouth of man with the power of the Holy Spirit at the first time. It was the day of the first harvest of believers in Christ. Amen. The Jewish believers. We celebrate Pentecost as the day when the Spirit was given. The same Spirit that rose up Jesus from the dead. It was the beginning of God's service to us. Spiritual service. Both of these holidays, Jewish Shavuot, Feast of 7 Weeks, and Christian Pentecost, the 50th day, Apostle Paul considered as a ministration of condemnation and ministration of righteousness. Do you remember Paul proclaimed, when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son, not to be served, but to serve us. Both of these holidays represent two different kinds of services, which took place from two different mountains, Mount Sinai, Mount of Old Testament, and Mount Sinai. Zion, one moment. Sinai, yes, Sinai, and Zion, Mount of New Testament. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, God related two Jewish holidays, Pesach and Shavuot, with two landmarks, two very significant grain harvests. In the New Testament, Jesus related the same holidays, Passover and Pentecost, with the two the most important actions of the Holy Spirit, His personal resurrection on Passover and beginning of the new people. People redeemed by the Spirit that quickened. It was not a coincidence. It looks like heavenly confirmation that Christ is the first harvest, and we who belong to Him are the second, the harvest of resurrection. Amen. It was not a coincidence. Why the people of the church? The second harvest. Do you remember Paul said, every man in his own order. Own order. Why the people of the church usually overlook and neglect that amazing coincidence, that cloud of witnesses. God has been using the Jewish heritage, even the harvest in the land of Israel, as the cloud of witnesses about His Messiah, that all Christians may know, as well as all Jews. Today, we are going to look at a very special part of that heritage in the story and celebration of Jewish holiday, Pesach, which literally means Passover. Look closely, and I think you will see Jesus in this holiday. You will see His death, His resurrection, and His return. Praise the Lord. At Passover, the head of the... One moment, I skip one part. Please turn in your Bible to Luke 22nd. Luke 22nd, verses 7, 8, and then 13. I read a few verses. Luke 22nd, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Prepared the Passover. The first day of Passover begins a 7 days holiday called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During this time, we eat no leaven. by not, because in the Bible, leaven is often a symbol for sin and corruption. Let me tell you very shortly about our traditional preparation for this holiday. At Passover, the head of the house puts on a special garment called a kittel. Kittel, white, is the color of purity, color of priesthood. And it reminds us of the robes that the ancient priests and Levites used to wear. How I look. Not like Jewish doctor. Yeah? Like the priest, the Jewish men often cover their head out of respect, but instead of wearing the usual kippah or yarmulke, the leader of Passover might wear a special mitre like a crown. So we wear a priestly robes and the symbol of a crown. Why? Because at Passover, the head of the house is like a king. And like a king, he guides his family, his big mishpacha family, through the Passover Seder. Seder. Seder is a Hebrew word, and it literally means order. Order. Seder. Because Passover follows a very specific order. That order is written here in this book called the Haggadah, which literally means the telling. This book you may see on the table in the back. Please, after service, look at the table in the back. I cannot explain why. First service, nobody look. So, are you ready? So come with me together to celebrate the Jewish Passover. We start by lighting the candles. Usually it is the work of the woman of the house. But during the tour, it is my responsibility. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kidashanu b'mitzvotah v'yitzivenu leked l'kner shel Pesach. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by your commandments and has commanded us to light the Passover lights. Do you know, when I see my wife or some woman lighting these candles, I remember that the Messiah, the light of the world, did not come from the seed of man, but as the promised seed of a woman. The scriptures declare, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. During the Seder ceremony, Seder meal, each adult and children... Yeah, we have children. And children will drink from his cup four times. The first time we drink, we call the cup the Kiddush cup. That means the cup of sanctification. The second time, we call this the cup of plagues, the cup of sufferings, cup of strikes. The third time, we call it the cup of redemption. Listen for that word. Redemption. You're going to hear a lot about redemption today. And this cup, the third cup, is the most important part of the service. Finally, the fourth cup is called the cup of Hallel, which means the cup of praise. So, at the start of the service, the leader lifts the first cup, Kiddush cup, and blesses God for giving us the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine, the first cup of traditional Passover Seder. Kiddush. And now the youngest person at the service I see one ask the traditional four questions. They begin like this.
Manish tuna halelach semikal halelos,
which means why? Why is this night different from all other nights? We adults explain that is because of what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, when he redeemed me with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Redemption. It is the heart of Passover. But Passover tells us more than God's message of redemption. Passover represents God's method of redemption through the sacrifice of a spotless lamb of God. My ancestors in Egypt took a spotless lamb, roasted it over the fire without breaking any of its bones, and put the blood on the doorposts of their homes, because we believed and obeyed God passed over our homes when he killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. If you're saved from God's judgment because we were seed of Abraham uncircumcised, because we prayed, maybe because we put away leaven out of our houses. No, not because we did something, but because he own protected us from his deadly verdict. He covered us by the blood of the lamb. If we had refused to believe God and obey, then God's judgment would not have passed over us, but death would come into our homes. Is it true? Amen. At the night of Exodus, the doors without sign of blood got transformed into the gates of death for Jews and Gentiles alike. What a mighty act of redemption. But do you see the picture of Jesus? Think of it. Just as the first lambs were spotless, so Jesus came to us as the spotless lamb without any sin. Just as my ancestors broke none of the bones of those lambs, so none of Jesus' bones were broken when he died. And just as my ancestors had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their homes as the sign of our faith and righteousness before the Lord, so you and I must put the blood of the Messiah Yeshua on the doors of our hearts. We are saved from God's wrath because they are good and righteous persons. Not because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. If you do not believe, then God's judgment will not pass over us, but his wrath remains upon us. Amen. As Jesus said, if you do not believe, you will die under the curse of your sins. Just as my ancestors in Egypt had to put away leaven and turn to the matzah, to the holy and pure bread, so the Jewish Messiah came to put away our sin and iniquity, to turn us on the way of righteousness. Praise the Lord. And now the child asks another question. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread, which we call matzah? The adults explain. our ancestors, in their haste to leave Egypt, had to take the bread with them while it was still flat. It is matzah, the poor bread and pure bread, the bread of affliction that our fathers ate at the time of Exodus. Matzah. And this is called a matzah tash. Matzah tash. It has three parts, three sections. And we put a piece of matzah in each part. Three whole pieces of matzah are gathered and wrapped together for Passover. Usually I like to share short explanation for this kind of people without any Jewish background that matzah and pizza is not the same. During the Seder meal, we are going to eat the middle part. We take out the middle part of pizza. Look closely. We use the middle part, which has a special name, afikomen. Afikomen, which literally means that which comes later. And this is what happens to the afikomen. It comes later. First we bless it. And then we break it. And then the body part of it like this. It looks like a joke, like a special game for the children. Passover Seder, it is very children's ceremony. They hide their eyes and we hide it from them. Later all of them look for it and one of them must find it and turn it back. If not, we cannot end the service today. And that is not a joke, but very old Passover tradition. Our Jewish tradition. So one half of the middle piece of matzah is now called the afikomen. And afikomen will be the last food eaten at the Passover Seder. But why? Why is the afikomen broken, buried, and then later brought back? You'll have to wait to find out. But when you hear the explanation, you will understand more about Jesus. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who commanded us concerning eating the matzah, unleavened bread in man. And now a child asks two more questions. Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs instead of all kinds of herbs? And why do we dip our food in salt water? Two times when normally we don't even dip our food once. Let me explain by showing you this. It is called a Seder plate. Seder plate. Despite the way it looks, it is not used for deviled eggs, God forbid. Do you see the number of circles? We put a special piece of the Passover food in each one of these places, and each piece of food tells part of the story of Passover. For example, the first food is called karpas. Karpas, usually we use parsley or lettuce. These greens represent spring and life. Represent a new nation, the children of Israel. But life in Egypt for the children of Israel was life of pain, sufferings, and tears, represented by this salt water. And that is why, before being eaten, we dip the greens into the salt water. So by dipping, we are reminded that a life without redemption is a life in tears. We are reminded that our God is a mighty Redeemer. Think about it. He is mighty to perish all the firstborn in the land. He is mighty to drown the whole nation into the waters of sea. And He is mighty to bring His people out of the waters of death. Amen. He is mighty. Karpas. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who commanded us concerning eating the bitter herbs. And this is called the Hazaret. The root of bitter herb. Generally, we use an onion or horseradish root. This symbol reminds us that the root of life is bitter, as it certainly was for our ancestors in Egypt. And this is called a maror. Maror, bitter herb itself. Freshly ground horseradish, like the Hazaret, the maror brings to our minds how bitter life is without redemption. And during the Seder meal, we are going to eat about full spoon of horseradish between the fragments of matzah. Be careful, do not start with full spoon of horseradish. Any volunteers may taste this Troy food store horseradish after the service. By the way, of contrast to the Hazaret and Maror, we have Haroset on the Seder plate. Haroset, very difficult word for your pastor. Haroset. This sweet mixture represents the mortar that our ancestors in Egypt used to make bricks to Pharaoh. It is made up of chopped apples, raisins, honey, nuts, wine. It's really delicious. This boiled egg has nothing to do with the Easter's eggs. Nothing to do with the Easter. I don't like this word, Easter. American believer has a great word for this Jewish holiday. Not Easter. Passover. Really zealous that Russian people don't have this accurate, very precious word, Passover. It is the real meaning of this holiday. This boiled egg has Chagiga, which was the name given to the special temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. We roast the egg, and that turns it brown. Chagiga is a token of grief to Jewish people, grief over the destruction of the Second Temple. And during the Seder meal, Chagiga is broken, opened, sliced, given out to each person at the table, and then dipped into the salt water, which represents the tears. Chagiga is also the symbol of a new life, symbol of a new temple. Chagiga. But for me, the most fascinating piece of food on the Seder plate is this one. It is called the Zroach. Zroach. And it is the shank bone of a lamb, which represents the first Passover lambs, the Pesach offerings. Do you remember that Passover is also called the Feast of the Passover Lamb? But lambs is not served at Passover during the long time. Why? Because the lambs that we ate at Passover when the temple stood in Jerusalem were the Passover sacrifices. But the temple was destroyed. And from that time, there have been no sacrifices, and lamb is not eaten at the Passover Seder. Instead, we use this bone. We put this roach on the Seder plate to remind us of those initial sacrifices that no longer take place. Maybe some of you know about that during the long period of time, almost 2,000 years, the most famous tradition that goes with this holiday involves searching and removing of leaven. Do you remember that each Jewish Orthodox family spends a few weeks or more to prepare their home for this holiday? What that means? They cleanse out the entire home room from any bit of leavened bread. It is really, really hard labor, long preparation, diligent preparation. And this new Passover custom is perhaps the greatest example how God's commandment we transform into the human tradition. How his service to us, we convert it into our service to him. Look closely. God has been really commended the Jewish people in the book of Exodus. On the very first day of the feast, you shall put away leaven from your houses. The first day of the feast followed just after the Passover offerings. After death pass over our houses, God commanded us to put away leaven at the very definite time, not before our deliverance, but immediately after the sacrificial lambs. We should eat matzah, the pure bread, the symbol of a sinless nature, not as a result of our long labor and diligent preparation, but because of his redemption. Redemption is the first order. Cleansing themselves is the second. Remember, as Paul said, cleanse out the old leaven, for Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We are really free from the old leaven, not because of cleansing and matzah eating, as we may see in the contemporary Judaism, but through the blood of the Jewish Messiah, through the blood of Jesus, we might stop to live for sin and begin to live for righteousness. For there is power in his blood. Amen. Zroach. And now the cups are put aside and the meal is served. Today I want to serve you the wonderful food that we eat at Passover, like soup with matzah balls and gefilte fish. Great dishes. But I do want to tell you about the wonderful ways that God has been using the ministry of Jews for Jesus to reach my Russian-speaking lost sheep of Israel here in America. And after that, I will conclude my presentation and show you how all these symbols point very specifically to Jesus. But first, let me share with you my personal story, how God of Abraham and Messiah Yeshua came into my life. The Russian branch of Jews for Jesus was launched in 1991. At that time, after first service, some woman took with me, and she visited Russia at 1993. It is so hard time of economical collapse. So it was time when the door to foreign missions was opened in the former Soviet Union. For 70 years, my people had heard nothing about the Bible and about the gospel, good news of salvation in Jesus. Unfortunately, the time of gospel was very short period of spiritual awakening in Russia. During the zeros, during the from 2000, from the Putin regime, American mission is not welcome in Russia. But during this short period, two of my daughters in Russia turned to faith in Jesus. They turned to Bible at a very young age, 14 and 17, as soon as the Soviet Union was opened for the gospel. And the first message about God's love in Jesus, they got received from American missionaries, praise the Lord. I, with my own eyes, saw in action the living faith that changed the lives of my daughters in Russia. For me personally, it was very hard time. It was time of crushed. And it was really time of economical collapse. I remember during this maybe 5 years, there were nothing in the Russian food store, nothing, except one piece, gift from America, chicken legs. Chicken legs from America. The Russian people call this American product legs of Bush, because it was during Bush president, Bush father. So, praise the Lord for America, for legs of Bush. But we Russian people, we have our own faith. I cannot understand why my children, young children, made this connection with American missionaries. If you want to believe, go to church, synagogue, church, it doesn't matter. For me, it doesn't matter. But American missionaries, it is something very strange. But what God started with my two daughters in Moscow, He has concluded with us here in America. We were born again, both my wife and me, in 1996 in Brooklyn. For the same time, we went the same spiritual way, from the Soviet atheism, from the human wisdom, to the wisdom of God and His Word. We were even baptized together in the same day with my wife. So I turned to faith 20 years ago, and these 20 years have significantly changed my life. By my nationality, I'm a Jew. Though my family was only nominally Jewish, we did not observe any Jewish religious holidays at all. I simply didn't even know them. My Jewish education included information about circumcision, circumstances, Shabbat rest, and guilt. Guilt of the Jews for the death of Jesus. The Christian God Christ. And that was it. I didn't have any other biblical knowledge at all. I know that it is very strange for you, but we Russian Jews, we were Jews thanks to anti-Semitism. Because only anti-Semitism reminded us about our special roots and our special guilt. Later, thanks to the Bible, I recognized my Jewish guilt as the guilt of all mankind. I recognized the God's design concerning His special people and concerning me. I recognized Yeshua as God's righteousness from the Lord, as God's only way to pass over me with His deadly judgment. I recognize His blood not as the blood of my Jewish rejection, but as the blood of my redemption. When I accepted Him, I realized myself as a Jew who became saved and justified, as a Jew who was brought out of the rest of the mighty God. I became more Jewish. Thanks to Him who was pleased to reveal His Son in me, His Jewish Son, so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, but first among the Jews. I know that it's very strange and unbelievable for many Jewish people, but my faith unto the Jewish Messiah, my Christian faith, helped me to gain my lost Jewish roots, my unknown Jewish inheritance. It is not just a knowledge of Jewish culture, Jewish tradition, Jewish fiddler on the roof. It is knowledge of one who is able to save, what your singer, He is mighty to save and destroy. One who said, I am Redeemer, and from my hand there is no rescue. I was invited to join the staff of Jews for Jesus in 1999 with a specific task of carrying the good news first to my Russian-speaking lost sheep of Israel. Praise the Lord. Do you know that our community in Brooklyn, New York, alone numbers more than 300,000? I'm sure that it is more than Ukraine in these days. I'm not sure, but maybe it is more than in Russia these days. From that time on, every week I come out to the street to hand out Jews for Jesus evangelical booklets, which I have to write and organize in advance and then print myself. You may see my sample of my work. It is a booklet for this season, Pesach. Pascha. Do you know that this name of Jewish holiday, Pascha, for Russian here really means nothing? Nothing. Really, it is kind of a Passover bread Russian Orthodox prepare for this holiday. Leavened bread. And because of that, most Russian Jews cannot explain the name, the meaning of name, this holiday. What it means, Passover. Usually they answer, maybe because we pass over the Red Sea. Is it true? Maybe because we pass over the desert for 40 years. Is it true? No. Maybe because plagues pass over our homes. It is partly true. But really, death passed over the homes of Israelites. Not just Jewish homes. Death passed over the sign of the blood, the sign of faith, sign of righteousness. Amen? Yeah. It is a very Jewish problem to clear understand the very beginning, first lesson of God. At the night of Exodus, He indicated the difference between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. Between slaver and free. What the difference in the sign of blood, the distinguishing mark. It is first lesson, great lesson. I am leader of special service, Shabbat service, Messianic service. We keep this service at the Brighton Beach area. It is amazing place. It is an area of the biggest concentration of Russian Jews in America. Russian Avenue in Brooklyn, small Odessa. Every week we cover on Saturday service the Torah portion of Torah. Like in the regular Jewish synagogue. And every week, the Torah portion learns us to recognize Jesus in the Jewish heritage, in the Jewish Torah, in the portion of Torah. Every week I call my people by phone and visit with them on one-to-one basis to help them to understand that Yeshua is Mashiach. Jesus is Christ. Through Him, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to everyone who believes. Amen. I would like to give you a very quick update how you can be part of Jewish evangelism or how my mission ministry may be beneficial, fruitful for you. This update involves, please take this Passover booklet. Please take it in your hands. Do you see the last part of this booklet? It's called the involvement section. So this section contains a few great benefits for you. But first of all, let's fulfill the old Jewish tradition, Jews for Jesus tradition. I'm sure you know how much my people like tradition. So the name of this tradition, the tearing of the cords. Let's tear this section together. Tradition. I will count in Russian on the count of three. Один, два. Please make tradition. Three. Great. It is so great to make tradition. Do you feel it? So, first benefit from headquarters. If you want to receive our free monthly newsletter, it is you may see samples on the table. Just put your interest here at the comments. It is free, free monthly informative booklet. If some people of the church have interest to the Jewish evangelism, to the Jewish roots of Christianity, it is great materials. There is the second benefit. Jews for Jesus headquarters prepared the special booklet. It is small books, 20 pages of book, seven feasts from Leviticus. I know that, unfortunately, a lot of people of the church don't understand that Jewish holidays is the most effective way to represent Messiahship of Jesus to your Jewish friends. Let this headquarters gift, free Passover gift, help you to be more fruitful, to share the gospel to God's people through the most Jewish way. So to receive this booklet, just fill out your address here and put it onto the offering plate. There is another way that you can stand with us. I brought a lot of literature with me today. I want to introduce you this book, Christ in the Passover, Book of Moshe Rosen, his founder, Admission Jews for Jesus. It is a very informative and evangelical book about greatest Jewish holiday. A lot of worship, Jewish worship, Christian worship CD on the table. That is the final way that you can stand with us. And that is financially. Like Jews for Jesus missionary, I am responsible for my fund. And this kind of tour, Passover tour around the different states of America, my only opportunity to increase my missionary fund. I like this season, this opportunity to visit a lot of churches. I remember someday I had a meeting at a small church at a small town at Mississippi River. And the pastor shared with me that this is town of Hannibal. It is town of Mark Twain, very famous writer. And I remember in Russia, every boy knew about story of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. But I cannot imagine that someday I visit the town of Tom Sawyer. It is a great opportunity to share the messianic vision with the churches of America. So all your contribution go directly to Peter Blitzstein Missionary Fund. And now let's continue our presentation. After the meal, we are going to drink the third cup. Do you remember? I said that this cup is the most important part of the service. Unfortunately, we cannot drink this cup just yet because earlier we broke something, buried it, and now we need to bring it back. At this time, we send the children to look for the buried of the common. Finally, one of them finds it and returns to the head of the house. He must redeem it from the child. In other words, he must buy it back. Pay a small ransom for it. And now it is time to share the fount of Ikumen, the final food eaten at the Passover Seder. It is shared as the Passover lamb was shared from the time of Exodus until the destruction of the Second Temple, shared between all the members of the family Seder. The head of the house, the leader of Passover, unwraps the afikoman, small piece of the broken matzah, and then breaks it again and gives small piece to everyone at the table, to you, to you, and to you. Does this tradition look familiar to you? This is the picture of our communion service. And now let me ask you an amazing and very important question. Where can we see a better picture of the Messiah Jesus than in this tradition? The Jewish tradition of the Afikoman, which is broken, buried, and then brought back. Just as the buried Afikoman is returned to complete our Passover Seder, the sinless Messiah rose from the dead to complete our salvation. What the amazing picture. Even the matzah itself is a picture of Jesus, because it is unleavened, the symbol of a sinless nature. Do you remember? When matzah is made, it is made in a very special way. It is striped. Matzah is striped. And Jesus was striped. Amen? The prophet Isaiah wrote, "With his stripes we are healed." Also, it is pierced. Matzah is pierced, and Jesus was pierced. God spoke to the prophet Zechariah and said, "They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced." I can see the Messiah in the Afikoman. I can also see him in the matzah tash. Matzah tash, do you remember this pouch? It holds three pieces of matzah. And according to tradition, the Jewish tradition, these three are united like one and called a unity. A unity. But no one understands the meaning of this strange unity, three and one. Some rabbis teach that the three matzahs are the picture of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if that is true, then why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? Some rabbis teach that the three matzahs are the picture of priests, Levites, and the people of Israel. But if that is true, then why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? No one knows. Unbelievable. So smart people. But we, Jews for Jesus, know these three matzahs are the picture of one God who has revealed himself to us in three persons, God the Father. From his hand there is no rescue. God the Son and Messiah, Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of knowledge and life. There is a Hebrew word for this kind of unity. It is the word Echad. It is the word that God used when he declared, "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The word that God used for one in that sentence is the word Echad. Why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? Because Jesus was broken, buried, and then brought back. He said, "This is my body broken, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Afikoman. And now we may drink the third cup, the cup of redemption. This cup has concluded the Passover ceremony, Passover meal. No meal after this cup. And with this cup, Yeshua identified himself. Do you remember that the fruit of the vine at Passover is usually red? And it reminds us of the blood of the first Passover lambs. Those lambs were sacrificed to redeem us at the night of Exodus from the slavery to Pharaoh and from the judgment of death. In the same way, the blood of Yeshua was sacrificed to buy us back from our slavery, the most deadly and eternal slavery. And that is why Jesus lifted the third cup after the meal and said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." According to the Passover tradition, the Jewish tradition, we eat the afikoman and drink the cup of redemption together as a reminder of the blood and the body of the Passover lambs. My Passover lamb is Jesus. Praise the Lord. The third cup of the Passover Seder, cup of redemption. And now I will show you the fourth cup, the cup of Hallel, the cup of praise. All Christians, all people of the church know at least one Hebrew word. I'm sure that all of you are familiar with this word and use it permanently. Maybe every day. But maybe somebody don't know the real meaning of this word. The word is Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallel, Yahweh. It is the cup of Hallel. Yahweh is the name of God Jewish people used in secret. It is the fourth cup of Passover Seder, the cup of praise. But there is the final cup that I never told you about, this one, the cup of Elijah. Eliyahu Hanavi, no one drinks from this cup. And in many Jewish homes at Passover, you will not find only the cup of Elijah. You will find a chair, a pillow, a plate, all for Elijah. Why? Because the prophet Malachi says that before the Messiah comes, the prophet Elijah will return. And that is why every year at Passover Seder, a child goes to the door and opens it wide, hoping that the prophet will enter the home and announce the coming of Mashiach ben David, the Messiah, son of David. I know that Elijah has already returned. You see, when Jesus spoke to his disciples about John the Baptist, he said, "If you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. The prophet has come, and the Messiah has come for Jews and Gentiles alike." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, church, for your attention. Thank you. Thank you, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and King. Thank you for your Passover lamb. Thank you for your power over the death that He revealed us in His resurrection. Death pass over Him. Death pass over everyone who believes that through Him the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, what is pastor's advice? Continue about palm... Oh, not... No. Pastor, next service, he shared with us about my Jewish vision, this palm, this church tradition of Palm Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your attention. Amen.